84, Psalm 84 is our text this morning. As we look at joy and strength in the presence of the Lord, as the psalmist that tells us that blessed are those who trust in the Lord. And so we're going to look at Psalm 84 this morning as an encouragement to our hearts and that we might exalt our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ended our series of being devoted to God's church last week, and next week we're going to start a series in the book of Daniel. So let me encourage you to read ahead in the book of Daniel, that you become familiar with the book of Daniel. Maybe since it's an Old Testament book that you're not as familiar with the book of Daniel. Well, you're probably familiar with the Daniel in the lion's den, right? And the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. You're probably familiar with those two parts, or the part where Nebuchadnezzar goes crazy and howls at the moon. Maybe you're familiar with that part. But read the book of Daniel. Prepare your hearts and minds, becoming familiar with that book. We're going to look at the book of Daniel as a guide to living. Of course, all the Word of God is a guide, right, to living. But as a guide to living in a foreign land. If you don't know whether our country was doing well or doing bad, you are living in a foreign land. That you are exiles, right? We are exiles. Our home is not this world.
That's right.
Our home is in the kingdom of God. It's in heaven. We're just strangers passing through. And so we're going to look at that as Daniel and his friends were exiles in a foreign land. We're going to see how that speaks to us today as exiles in a foreign land. And so let me just encourage you to be in the book of Daniel over the next couple of weeks, really getting to know it. Because we'll be in the book of Daniel through the end of November. But today we're in Psalm 84 as we're going to look at what it means to be in the presence of God and how that is where we find our joy and strength. In fact, that is that you are blessed, the psalmist said. Blessed is he who dwells in God's house, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. And so if you would, follow along with me as I read Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, and whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God, look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold for those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Let us pray. Father, as we come before your word this morning, open up to us eyes that see the beauty of your Son, Jesus Christ, that see the blessing from trusting in him and not in ourselves or the things of this world, who know the joy and the strength from being in your presence and worshiping you. Father, we love you, and we just pray that you would turn our hearts to you this day through your word, that we might praise you, that we might rest in you, and that we might proclaim your word. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Where do you find your joy and strength? Where do you find your joy and strength? Is it in your family? Is it in your education? Is it in your circumstances? Is it in other people? Is it in reading books? Is it in this life? As a Christian, as those of us who are in Christ, we are to find our joy and our strength in Jesus Christ. He is the one for whom our heart and soul should long for. Our heart and flesh should, as the psalmist says, shout for joy. Christ is the one whom our hearts should always turn towards and to whom we find strength to endure the seasons of life. See, Christ is the only one who we trust for salvation. He's the only one in whose presence is joy forevermore. Our text this morning, Psalm 84, will lead us into the presence of God, where we will find joy and strength as we trust in Jesus Christ. In Psalm 84, just a little background, Psalm 84, maybe in your Bibles it says this at the top. It says it in mine. It says the Psalms of the Sons of Korah. Psalm 84 is one of the what's called the Korahite Psalms. And the Korahites were gatekeepers. They were the gatekeepers in the house of the Lord, in the temple of God. And they were Levites. They were part of the tribe of Levi who were given the task of door or gatekeeper. Some even say janitor or cleanup crew in the tent and later the temple of God. In fact, 1 Chronicles chapter 9 and chapter 26, but specifically chapter 9, verses 17 through 20, 32 tell us that they were in the charge of the works of the service. They were keepers of the threshold, that is the doors and gates, right? They were in charge, they had charge of the utensils of the service. Others were appointed over the furniture and over the holy utensils, over the fine flour, the wine, the oil, the incense, and so on. In other words, that their job was more the menial task of keeping the temple and the tent, whether it was guarding the door and gate or cleaning up the utensils and counting them and some of these other tasks. And so this was the job that the Korahites were assigned to. And here they were, because they were the gatekeepers and the people who did a lot of these menial tasks in the temple, they were intimately knowledgeable or familiar with the workings of the temple, the house of the Lord, and they did. They spent much time into the house of the Lord. What we know there in the tent, in the tabernacle, and later the temple, that the house of the Lord was where God dwelled, where His presence was, right there in the Ark of the Covenant, and came down. And so they spent much time in His presence. And so in Psalm 84, the psalmist, the Korahite psalmist, pours out his heart. He pours out his heart and he says he loves being in God's presence as a gatekeeper in the house of the Lord. And he knows because he's in the house of the Lord and that he's a gatekeeper there that he is blessed. And he knows that even those who journey, who are not priests or Levites in the house of God, that those who journey there to be in God's presence for these festivals, that they also are blessed and therefore are a blessing to others. For he knows that all who trust in the Lord, that's how he ends the psalm, he knows that all who trust in the Lord are blessed. For God is good, he says, God is a sun and a shield, bestowing favor and honor to the righteous. And so the psalmist lets us know that to be in God's presence is a blessing. And that from God's blessing, presence, from his presence flow joy and strength when we trust in him. Now, it's interesting that many commentators call Psalm 84, they call it a psalm of ascent or a pilgrim psalm, right? They say that this was a psalm that was sung as the pilgrims were traveling up to the temple. And because of what the psalmist says at the beginning here in verse 2, my soul longs, yes, faints for the court of the Lord. And the problem is that the songs of ascent are Psalms 120 through 34, but they seem to think this is one of them because of this language in Psalm 2 and in verse 2 and verses 5 through 7 as the pilgrims journey to Zion, that is Jerusalem. Now, the problem is that there's twofold problem with viewing it as a journey psalm or a pilgrim psalm is, one, as I already said, they come much later in Psalms 120 through 134. And secondly, though, that the main imagery of the psalm is not one of pilgrimage or journeying. It's not one of traveling, but rather it's one of dwelling. This is the main image you find in this psalm. It's one of dwelling in God's presence. He says, how lovely is your dwelling place. He talks about the courts of the Lord. He says, even a sparrow finds a home. Talks about being near his altars. And he talks about the house of the Lord. You see, the psalmist isn't talking about pilgrimage. He's talking about God's presence. God's presence. He's talking about standing in the presence of God and worshiping in the house of God. And he says it's blessing that comes to those who are in God's house, in his presence. For there in the presence of God, he says, is joy and strength as we trust in him. And so as we look at this psalm, we're going to see three blessings, in fact. That's the language he uses in that. And so the first we're going to see is that blessed are those who live their life in the presence of God. Blessed are those who live their life in the presence of God. Secondly, we're going to see blessed are those whose strength is in the Lord. Blessed is those whose strength is in the Lord. And finally, we're going to see blessed are those who trust in the Lord. Now, all three of them are related, and it starts with the first one, blessed are those who live life in the presence of God. And we see this in verses 1 through 4, where the psalmist says, blessed are those who live life in the presence of God. Why? Why are they blessed? Why are these people, those of us who are Christians, the psalmist and the Israelites but in the temple, but us, who have gathered here today, why are we blessed because of living life in the presence of God? Well, one, because we have come to know who God is. First of all, we have come to know who God is. Look at what the psalmist says. He says, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. And then he goes on, my soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord, and my heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. And then he goes down there and he talks again about in verse 3, about the Lord of hosts, my King and my God. You see, we are blessed by knowing who God is. Amen. Now, the Israelites, either whether it be the Levites or the Israelites who had the journey to the temple, right? They had to go somewhere to be in the presence of God. Right? And even though we have gathered here today, we don't have to go anywhere to be in God's presence because God has placed his Holy Spirit in us. But we gather together because there seems to be a sense that God's presence is known more experientially. I think I blew that word. Experientially. That's the word. Experientially. In reality by the fact that we've gathered together. And we can only know who God is because of, as Christians, because of Jesus Christ, right? That Jesus Christ made a way for us to know who God is, that God has revealed himself through the person and work of Jesus Christ. But here, specifically, the psalmist talks about who God is. He calls him, he is the Lord of hosts. And so the psalmist has come to know, and those of us who are Christians, we've come to know who God is, that he is the Lord of hosts. And that just means that he is the God Almighty. He is the God of strength in there. And when you think of hosts, you think of a mighty army, right? And so he's the one Bible translation calls him that, the Lord of armies. In that. And so it is the God Almighty. He's the God of strength. Why? Because he's the creator of the heavens and the earth. And if you can create the heavens and the earth, who's more mightier than you are, right? Who has more strength than you? No one. He is the one who fights for his people. That's why he's the Lord of armies. And he fights for his people, both and not only over human historical events, but God fights for us over cosmic forces, over Satan and his demons. He's defeated death and he's defeated Satan. And so he is the Lord of hosts. We as Christians have come to know who God is, and so we are blessed in his presence, knowing that our God is the one who fights for us. Amen. And there's nothing in the universe or in this world that can stand against God, the Lord of hosts. But he's not only the Lord of hosts, he calls him, he's the living God. That's what he says there. He's the living God. And so our God is the living God. This is down in, I lost the verse. Oh, verse 2, I'm sorry, at the end of verse 2. At the end of verse 2, he calls him the living God. And what does that mean, that God is the living God? Well, we know God isn't dead, so it's not saying that he's just living. It's saying more than that. Yes, he's living, but he's saying that God is his own life. God is his own life. No one gave him life. He's his own life. He has life in himself, that he's the living God, that he always was, is, and will be, right? Amen. And so... That's what it means. He's a living God. He is his own life, and that he will live forever. And you know, when you have the God who will live forever on your side, who can stand against you? Amen. And so he's not only the Lord of hosts, he's the living God. He has life in himself, and he's given us life in his son, Jesus Christ. He's given life. He's given us physical life. But in him we live and move and have our being. But he's given us spiritual life through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's the living God, and in him we have life. But not only that, he says he's the Lord, he's the King. That he's the Lord, he's the King. Our God is sovereign over the universe. There's nothing higher, no one higher than our God. He's sovereign over the universe. That means he's sovereign over creation. He's sovereign over history. He's sovereign over his church. He's sovereign over our nation. He's sovereign over our president and Congress and judicial system. God is sovereign and in control. And he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's sovereign over all nations. And so even if the nations rage, he will not win against God. He is sovereign even over the nations. This is the God that we have come to know, the Lord of hosts, the living God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we are blessed by knowing the fact that God has revealed himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And so the psalmist says, blessed are those who live life in the presence of God. They've come to know who God is. But secondly, not only they come to know who God is, that they yearn always to be in his presence. They yearn always to be in his presence. In fact, this is what the psalm is about. It's about the presence of God, and the psalmist expressing how intensely in his heart he desires always to be in the presence of God, and he desires to know God and to be known by God. And so he's saying, how intensely my very soul yearns and faints for this God that I know, for this Lord of hosts, the living God, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Listen to the language again in verse 2. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. This is why I don't think it's a song of ascent, a pilgrim psalm. I think the psalmist, who is a gatekeeper in the house of the Lord, that he is in the temple and he's looking around at the temple and he's saying, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. And not only that, he says, my soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. I love being in your presence, he's saying. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God in there. And so I think he's looking around and seeing the fact how blessed he is to be in God's presence. Do you understand how blessed you are to be in God's presence?
Yes.
Not only here today, this morning, as we worship him, but the fact that God dwells among you through the Holy Spirit. And that through Christ, that you always have a way to come before God through prayer. That we are blessed. We are blessed to live life in the presence of God. This is what the psalmist says. This is what our hearts ought to be as Christians. That we ought to desire to be in the presence of God. You see, when we talk about a desire to be at church with God's people, it's not because we think that church, the being here in the building, accomplishes anything. It's that the fact that we're coming together to worship God in his presence. And by being in his presence, God will do something in our lives, among us, in front of us. He will demonstrate his mercy and grace. He'll give us a joy. He'll edify us through his word, right? And we'll have strength to live life as he has called us to.
Amen.
And so that should be our hearts. We ought to yearn like the psalmist, to be in the presence of God, to cry out for the Lord, to offer him sacrifice and praise to the living God. Because you know what the psalmist is saying here? The reason the psalmist so delights to be in the temple. You see, you couldn't separate the temple from God's presence. That's where God's presence were. So he wasn't saying, he wasn't just delighted in the courts of the Lord, the building in the temple. He was delighted in the presence of God because he knew there at the temple something important was happening. And what was happening? It was there at the temple that God made a way for sin to be atoned for and for reconciliation to happen between God and his people. For us, we know that God has done that through the present through Jesus Christ, that the temple is no longer needed. Christ was the final sacrifice, right?
Amen.
He died once for all for us. And Christ has become that. And so why do we desire to be in God's presence? Because God has dealt with our sin. He has reconciled us to himself, that we can come before him and we can know joy and we can have strength. And we can trust in his son, Jesus Christ. Oh, dear Christian, what a place to be.
Amen.
In God's presence.
Amen.
In God's presence where there's joy. Just look at the world. There's not a lot of joy. But in God's presence, there's joy.
Amen.
In God's presence, there's strength because he's the Lord of hosts. In God's presence, there's goodness because God is good. And we're going to talk about that at the end, that God is good. And so what a place to be in God's presence. This produces joy, does it not? I hope when you leave every Sunday that there's joy in your heart because you've been in the presence of God with God's people, praising him. And there's joy. This produces joy in our heart, knowing that in God's presence, that we can be in his presence because Christ has made a way through his death, burial, and resurrection. But not only are we blessed who live life in the presence of God because we come to know who He is, because our hearts yearn to be with Him, but we also are blessed because we can rejoice in the fact that all who come, Paul says it in Romans this way, all who call upon the Lord shall be saved. The psalmist says it here this way in Psalm 84, all who find a home, all who come and find a home in God's presence, all who come to God will find a home in God's presence. He will not turn them away. And so all who come to God will be blessed. And he says it this way. He says it, remember, I think he's in the temple. He's looking around and he's seeing how beautiful the temple is. And he sees that even the birds have found a home there in the presence of God. Even the sparrow finds a home. And then he turns and he looks over there at another corner and he sees a sparrow. And he says, the sparrow finds a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. And so he realizes that even the lowliest, even the most restless, can find a home in the presence of God. God does not turn them away, because all who call upon the Lord shall be saved. And this imagery, even the sparrow, well, what is more worthless as a bird than a sparrow? All right, Jesus himself said, is not a sparrow sold, two sparrows sold for a penny? That's not a lot of money. And yet he says God cares about the sparrow, right? And then the swallow, what is the swallow? When you look at a swallow, if you're in a field and you look at a swallow, they never stop, right? They're flying here and there and they're like a restless bird until they make a nest, right? And they have young. They're a restless creature that only finds rest and peace when it dwells in its nest. And so using this imagery, the psalmist says that even the most insignificant who thinks they're insignificant, and even those who are restless, find peace when they dwell in the presence of God. You see, God will, all who call upon the Lord shall be saved. God doesn't turn anyone away who comes to dwell in His presence. And so we can find rest, we can find peace as we dwell in God's presence, every one of us, no matter how significant we think we are, how restless our hearts may be, that in the presence of God, we find peace and rest. St. Augustine said, our hearts are restless till they rest in Thee, O God. And this is the great reversal, is it not? That for the Christian, it was blessed are those who dwell in God's house, but now blessed are those whom God dwells among. That God, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the sending of His Spirit, now dwells among us. He dwells among us, and we're blessed because we've been given the Holy Spirit. And so we are in the presence of God, and we have joy and strength. Well, what is our response then? Listen to what the psalmist says. He says, blessed are those who dwell in your house, verse 4, ever singing your praise. You see, this is our response to being in the presence of God, of knowing Him, that He is the Lord of hosts, the living God, the King of kings and Lord of lords, that He has made a way through Jesus Christ, that He has saved us, so that we might know Him and praise Him. Our response is praise. That's the proper response for being in the presence of God, is praise. That's why we come together, isn't it, every Sunday. I know you don't come to hear the great preaching, but we come to be in the presence of God. And we come to worship God. And so the response of those who are blessed is praise. Not praise just on Sunday morning. It's easy to praise on Sunday morning, isn't it? I mean, everything here on Sunday morning is geared towards praising God. But it's so we can praise Him throughout the week. So we can praise Him when we need that joy, when we need that strength to make it through the day. And so we praise him. It is the proper response of those who are blessed. But secondly, the psalmist tells us, blessed are those whose strength is in God. Blessed is those whose strength is in God. Look at verses 5 through 8. In verse 5, he says, blessed are those whose strength is in you and whose hearts are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Now, what is the psalmist saying here? He's saying, first of all, when he says, blessed are those whose strength is in God, in verse 5, he's talking about those whose hearts always look towards God. You see, not everyone could dwell in Jerusalem or in the temple, right? Wasn't enough room. So other people had to live in the villages. Other people had to journey there for the festivals and the sacrifices. And yet, even though they were distant from the temple where God dwelled, he says, blessed are those whose hearts, right, whose hearts are looking towards God, are stayed on God in that. And so they were, their desire, even though they might have been 20 miles away, their heart was there in the temple. Their heart was there where the presence of God was. That's what they were thinking about. That's what they were looking toward. They weren't trusting in themselves, but they were trusting in God. They were looking towards him and finding their strength in him. And so they were not looking for in their own heart for strength. Now, that's what our society tells us, right? Look to your own heart. Look inside your heart, and you'll find strength. There, you know, discover yourself by looking inside your heart in that. Or if you need guidance for life, look to your heart. What does your heart tell you? Well, what if your heart's evil? It's going to tell you evil in that. And so that's the psalmist here is reminding us that we are to look, our hearts are to be stayed on God. We're look to God to find our strength in that. And so we're not to look towards God, anything else, but to God. Not to ourselves, not to the world, but to God. That we place our strength in God. Now, it's very easy. It's very easy to place our strength in ourselves, isn't it? I was reading this week, and a gentleman who was talking about going through something, I think it was with, he was going through graduate school, working on his PhD, and because of his belief in God, he got wind that they may not pass his dissertation because of, you know, his belief. And the first thing he did was start thinking of strategies. What can I do? I can run here and talk to this professor. I can do this, and I can try to get people on my side. Maybe I can get them to take all the professors currently on my examination team off and put new ones. And then it dawned on him, hey, instead of trusting in myself, maybe I ought to stop and pray and think about what God can do, right? And so he stopped and prayed and put it in God's hands and said, God, you know, I need you to do something here. And so he went to the examination, and the first professor right up front asked the question concerning his methodology and what he believed. He gave the answer, and it was the senior professor of the department. So he's the guy who gets the most deference, right? And after he gives his answer, the guy goes, okay. Well, after that, no one else is going to ask him any questions concerning that, because if the senior guy says okay, it's okay. And you see, he found the strength he needed, God took care of it. And so our hearts are to be stayed on God. We're to look towards God for strength and trust in him. But not only that, he says, blessed are those whose strength is in God because their hearts look towards God, but they're blessed because they are blessings to others. Look at verse 6. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs, early pools. Early rain also covers it with pools. Now, maybe you've read verse 6 like me and gone, huh? What's he talking about? Well, here's what he's talking about. The Valley of Baca, the Hebrew word there, Baca, means weeping, or at least referring to trees, like a weeping tree, not a weeping willow, but whatever trees they had there. And also it could possibly refer to an arid and dry or desolate place, but figuratively. There's actually no Valley of Baca. But there are lots of valleys in Judea, right, that they had to travel through to get to Jerusalem. And some of them would be dry and desolate. And so this became an imagery, this Valley of Baca, an imagery of dry and desolate, of life that may be dry and desolate, or dry and desolate times in that. But here the psalmist is saying, as they go through that valley of weeping, that dry and desolate valley, they make it a place of springs. And so what the psalmist here is saying is that those who find their strength in God are blessed, and because they're blessed, they bless others. They are a blessing to others. They are the rain, right? When you're in a dry place, rain is a blessing, isn't it? And so he's saying that when you place your strength, when you find your strength in God in life, you become a blessing to others. And so as Christians, we've been blessed, haven't we? We've been blessed in the person and work of Jesus Christ. We've been given life. We've been given peace. We've been given comfort through the gospel. We've been given the ability to love, to forgive, to be unified. And so when we find our strength in Christ, our life is supposed to be a blessing to others, isn't it? We're supposed to serve others. We're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're supposed to, so we can demonstrate the love that God has given us in Jesus Christ. And this is what the psalmist is saying, that as we live our life, as we go through life, if our strength is in God, we will be a blessing to others. But if our strength is in anything else, we're usually just trying to bless ourselves, aren't we? We're doing it for ourselves. But if we're looking to God and finding our strength in Him, that we will be a blessing to others. And so blessed are those whose strength is in God, whose hearts look to God, and because they bless others by being blessed. And then in verse 7, he says, not only do they bless others, but here's the thing. He says, they go from strength to strength as each one appears before God in Zion. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I think that is the term I'm looking for. Or it's a loop back in on itself. When you find your strength in God and you bless others, guess what? You're strengthened. You're strengthened. Doesn't it give you strength when you help others and bless them? When you do a good deed, don't you find joy and pleasure in that, and you find strength? And of course, he ties it to the presence of God as one appears before God in Zion. See, it goes back to the fact that we are in God's presence because of Jesus Christ, and we are strengthened. And so when we place our strength in God, that we're a blessing to others, and it blesses and strengthens us in return. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a good return on your investment, isn't it? And the thing is, it didn't cost you anything to make that investment. Jesus Christ made it for you. And so he called you to bless others, and when you bless others, you are strengthened through being in the presence of God. Now, just like anything else, what is the proper response here? Look at the psalmist in verse 8, and as he tells us that, behold those who are blessed, who find their strength in God, he says, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. Verse 9. So in verses 8 and 9, what is the proper response? Prayer. Prayer, first of all, for strength. Right? If we're to be strengthened in the Lord, we need to go before him in prayer. Prayer is a strengthening exercise. Just like when you use your muscles, you strengthen them. When you pray, you are being strengthened in the faith, aren't you? Because you're trusting in Jesus Christ. You're trusting in God in that. And so our proper response for those who look to the Lord for strength is prayer. We look to the Lord for prayer, for strength through prayer. And we look to the Lord, we go to the Lord before prayer. I keep messing that up. We pray, let me just say it that way, when we want to be a blessing to others, don't we? Like we might pray, Lord, show me how I might be a blessing to this person today, or how I might serve them today. Or you might pray for that person, and that's a blessing, right? And so our proper response is those who are blessed is to pray. We should not only praise God, but we should pray. We should go before him seeking his strength, but also praying that we might be a blessing to others in that. Thirdly, then the psalmist, not only are blessed are those who are dwell in God's presence and those who look to him for strength, but he says, blessed are the one is the one who trusts in the Lord. And that is the end of the psalm there in verse 12. Blessed is the one who trusts in you. And so he starts off with the beginning of the psalm. Blessed are those who dwell in God's presence. And he ends the psalm with blessed are those who trust in God. And the reason why we are able to come into God's presence as Christians is because we have placed our trust, our faith, in his son, Jesus Christ, right? And so we are blessed in that. Look at verse 10. Look at what the psalmist says in verse 10. He says, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. You see, the doorkeeper in the temple, that was the lowest job. That was the most menial job. And yet the psalmist here says, you know, I'd rather do that even if it's the most menial than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Because I'm in the presence of God. I may be a doorkeeper, but I'm in the presence of God. That's a fantastic thing, he's saying. And so he says, for a day in your courts is better than anywhere elsewhere. And so the psalmist realizes, as the one who trusts in the Lord, we realize that God's presence is better than anywhere else. You know, there's a lot of neat places you can be in this world. In fact, recently, we've saw billionaires go to space because they thought space would be a really cool place to be. But you know what better than being in space? Being in the presence of God. That's better than being in space. As cool as that would be to look down upon the earth, right? To be in God's presence is even better. And that's what the psalmist is saying here, that there's no better place to be than in God's presence. You're not going to find joy, everlasting joy, in space. You're not going to find the strength you need for life in space. But in God's presence you are. And the psalmist says that there's no better place. And so he says, even if I am more insignificant than the high priest, I'd well rather be here than in the tents of the wicked. Amen. But not only that, he says the other reason that blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, because God's presence is better than anywhere else, but because God is our guide and our protection. Look at what he says in verses 9 and 11. Of course, he says, behold our shield, or God, or it may be, behold God our shield, depending on the translation. Then go down to verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. Nor good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And so here he says, first, our God is our guide and protection. That's what this imagery of sun and shield. Sun is a light, right? And a light guides you. So God is our guide. He is the one who gives us a direction in this life through His Word, but He's also a shield. A shield is the imagery of a king who provides protection to His people. And so this is our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, is the one who provides protection to us, who watches over us. That's why we read Psalm 46 at the beginning. Our God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. He is our protection, our strength in there. And so blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, for God is our guide and our protection. But then he goes on in the end of verse 11 to say, he says that no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And so he tells us at the beginning who God is, and here he tells us here that God is good by telling us that no good thing does God withhold from those who walk uprightly. That God is good. And if God is good, if God is better than a human father who won't give you a snake when you ask for bread, right, as Jesus says, then God who is good is not going to withhold good from His children, is He? No good thing from those who walk uprightly. That's us who are Christians. We are righteous because of Christ. We are His children, and God withholds no good thing upon the righteous. He bestows good upon us. For the first good He's bestowed upon us was salvation in His Son Jesus Christ, right? But in this life, He withholds no good thing. He gives us joy. He gives us contentment. He gives us peace. He gives us comfort. He gives us wisdom, as James 1 tells us. And James 1:19 tells us that all good things come down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. Meaning God is good and He gives us good things. And this verse here, this verse, no good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly, is almost an exact parallel to Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28, if you want to turn over there for a moment, I think it's good if we read this. I'll give you a second to get there, Romans 8:28. Becca knows it, right? He says, Paul writes in Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. Right? And so God is good and He withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. Amen. And then he goes on to say in verse 32, He who did not spare His own Son but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? God is good. And He does not withhold good from those who walk uprightly. From us who are Christians, who are righteous in Christ. God, our God is good. And God will give us everything we need when we trust in Him. Praise God. Now that doesn't mean He's going to give us a Cadillac and a house on the beach. Or we're going to win the lottery. Right? But everything we need in this life, for life and godliness, God will give us. Yeah. If we go to Him in prayer and we trust in Him. Yeah, and we trust and find our strength in God. He says, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. That for His presence is better than anywhere else. He is our guide and our protection. No good thing will He withhold, for He is good. God is good. He's not only the Lord of hosts, the living God, the King of kings and Lord of lords, but He is good. And He's always good. Amen. And He always treats His children good and gives them what they need, all good things. And what is our proper response? The proper response, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in You. That's a proclamation, isn't it? And so our proper response as those who trust in God is proclamation. It's to proclaim the good news. It's to tell people about the goodness of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ. We're to praise God, we're to pray to God, and we're to proclaim God. Because that's our proper response as those who are blessed by knowing God, being in His presence, finding strength and joy, and trusting in Him. Let me end by saying that while the psalmist could only look forward to Christ, we look back towards the cross, don't we, in Jesus Christ. And we trust in God because Christ has made a way for us into His presence through His death, burial, and resurrection. And we trust in God and have strength because God has given us the Holy Spirit. So we don't have to live this life alone, but we live it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And we can trust God and find strength because God is our joy and strength. You see, when we look for it anywhere else, we're not going to find it. But when we trust in God, when we come into His presence, we will know joy and strength. For Christ is our joy. Amen. Christ is our strength. And so we can proclaim with the psalmist, blessed is the one who trusts in You. Let us pray. Father, we are so thankful for Your word today that reminds us, oh, what a joy it is to be in Your presence. And so, Father, as we move towards celebrating the Lord's Supper, let it remind us of the joy that we have in Your Son, Jesus Christ. Let it give us strength as we're reminded of what He has done for us to go and be a blessing to others and help us to proclaim His death and resurrection until He comes. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.